You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Golf Podcast. Good to have your company ahead of a new golfing week. We've got two events to look forward to as well, with the British Masters at Hillside Golf Club and the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship in Texas as well. Dave Kellner here, and joining me on the line this week on Skype is Dave Tindall. Good morning to you, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm getting through.
I'm just a little bit croaky
yes. This morning. I think we better start with last week, because unbelievable performance in the States for Max Homa. We've had a few bolts from the blue in that championship in the past, the event at Quail Hollow. You mentioned last week Derek Ernst winning it one year, and Max Homa. I don't think anyone tipped Max Homa to win last week, and he's a golf Twitter favourite, isn't he?
That's right. Yes, that was kind of his claim to fame, really, rather than his golf. But a strange event, because early on you're thinking, oh, here we go, this is Rory McIlroy territory again. He's going to get his third win, and then he faded away, and Homa came on strong, and Joel Darman, who was the joint first round leader, he stayed, proved his best challenger. So a very unlikely one too.
Yeah, it was indeed. I fancied Joel Darman last week as well. I mentioned him on the podcast.
Well, to be fair, yeah, you said, yeah.
I wasn't on each way, unfortunately. I know you fancied him to lead after the first round as well, Dave, so well done with that particular pick. And I don't think Darman did anything wrong. He just ran into Homa, who putted superbly on Sunday and really grasped the nettle, as it were. I thought it was a tremendous performance, and he's got an association with the No Laying Up team, Dave, who produce a podcast each and every week, and he's been on the podcast talking about his win subsequently. I've not listened to that full podcast yet, but they had him on earlier on in the year, and there's a 4-minute clip doing the rounds on Twitter, and he talked about how he was shooting 80 and feeling like he didn't belong, and that was only 12 months ago, and now he's a PGA Tour winner. He'd missed 43 of 68 cuts on the PGA Tour before that, the win in Charlotte, so just astonishing how this game can turn your life around in an instant.
Absolutely. I actually, funnily enough, I did have a bet on him about five tournaments ago. I can't remember where it was, but just as a kind of speculative each way, it didn't particularly challenge. And I thought, oh, what was I thinking? But I'd have kept with him. I'd have been in clover. Do you know his pre-tournament odds?
I've no idea. I know he was around about 300 to 1 fixed odds.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Huge price, and
funny tournament. Now, when we come to it again next year, you're thinking it either goes to someone completely at the top end or a complete sort of wild card.
And we've had a couple of instances this year as well where one week has turned a player's life around. Corey Connors having Monday qualified, winning earlier on in the season as well. A similar thing. You get through on Monday, and then boom, your life changes forever. And that's the same state of play with Max Homa after last week.
That's it. I mean, sometimes you think, my God, there's so much depth on the PGA Tour. How are we ever going to pick a winner? Because, you know, if someone that far down can win. But I suppose we're not going to get too spooked by it, because it just does happen, doesn't it, from time to time.
And the other winner, you were ahead of your time, weren't you, with Mikko Korhonen? You picked him.
A nice way of putting it.
Yeah, picked him the week before, and he came from behind to take the China Open, a pretty low-scoring event in China, and Korhonen outlasted Benjamin Hébert on Sunday, winning in the playoff.
Yeah, that was a good finish, and a couple of the takeaways from that, those two, and the two local Chinese players did well. Hao Chongli wasn't really in it, but he came through fast, didn't he, to get a top four, and then Ashun Wu, who is another of these players who suddenly wins, and then he does nothing, and he drops way down the betting. But he was big odds last week. a couple of people might have done him each way. So, yeah, I think last week probably played out a little bit more to form in terms of there were some good names at the front end. But, yeah, personally a bit frustrating with Corhonen because I kind of like him for those sort of that level of European Tour tournament. And, he was a decent price again.
Let's talk about the British Masters 2019. Tommy Fleetwood is the host this year, and the tournament moves from its slot in October to early May. And there's a shift in location too, with this nomadic event moving from Parkland Golf at Walton Heath to the northwest, and a links test in the shape of Hillside Golf Club, which sits next to Royal Birkdale. Hillside in Southport isn't a venue that many occasional golf viewers will have seen before. Hosted the English Seniors Open in 2003. It's been used for Open Championship qualifying in the past too. It's not a long course, measures just under 7,000 yards, plays to a par of 72. So the main defence is the elements. And looking at the advanced weather forecast this week, Thursday might be the tougher of the 4 days, but it's not easy to determine whether an early start going into a late on Friday or a late on Thursday going into an early on Friday will be beneficial. But I'm only going on what I've read, Dave. I'm speaking to someone here that's played the golf course.
Yes, I played it maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and it was a fantastic as a sort of viewing course. I can just recall, and you'll see this sort of come up this week in previews and discussions, but Greg Norman described the back nine as the best he's played in Britain, and you can see why. It's just gorgeous. Lots of elevated tees, beautiful sort of sight lines. It's framed by the dunes either side. It's just a wonderful course to play and to spectate on in that sense. The front nine's less spectacular and sort of less linksy, but I still think you want to be looking at links angles this week. It's a very obvious way to go in. And it's right, if you can actually stand high up and look across, and you can see Royal Birkdale. So yeah, we are very much in Lancashire links land and open land. So, it should be a great week, and I'm really pleased to see the tournament's gone there.
Yeah, it should be a very enjoyable week in the northwest. And
are we going? Are you going as well? We might pop across, might we?
Yeah, might do. I've just got to get a few things sorted with work, hopefully.
Yes, but, me too.
Hopefully,
busy lives.
Hopefully we'll be able to maybe pop across for one day. I found it difficult from a betting perspective. Is there anything that stands out, obviously, having played the course? Are you just looking for links performers this week then, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, from memory, it wasn't particularly narrow or anything. It was, it just felt like a sort of, yeah, here we are again on a links course. It was windy the day I played, so that probably gone in my head as that's the main thing to think about. And it's not very long, is it? So no real advantage if you're a big hitter. So I just think it's strategy, really. Strategy and sort of past links skills.
15-2 the field with the host Tommy Fleetwood at the top of the betting at 15-2. Tyrrell Hatton is 16-1. Joost Luiten is 22s, along with Eddie Pepperell, Matt Wallace. Lee Westwood is 25-1. Andy Sullivan and Jordan Smith, both 28s. 33-1 and bigger the rest. Just the one pick for me, Dave, and it's the resurrection of hashtag your odds as well this week with...
Yes.
Yeah, given that we hit the compilers hard in the Masters, they went away for a few weeks after that, but it's back is hashtag your odds. So hopefully we'll be able to get stuck in. And we've got a hashtag your odds for both events this week. So something for you to ponder perhaps on this week's podcast. Just the one pick for me in the event.
Yeah, same for me. Well, it was going to be two, but you informed me shortly before this podcast that Eric Van Rooyen has pulled out.
Yeah, he has. He's still in the betting, but he has pulled out, Eric Van Rooyen. Yeah. There's been a couple of field changes.
Why?
I think he's just getting prepared for next week. I think he's in the PGA Championship, US PGA Championship now, I think, Van Rooyen.
Yeah, that's one of the sort of, scheduling-wise, I'm happier that it's this time of year, but the week before a major is not ideal, is it?
No, it's not. And I think Lipsky's pulled out as well, I think. He's 33, or he was 33-1, but confirmation of those field changes will be on Twitter. I've only seen them on Twitter, so it's not been officially confirmed yet, but I'm pretty sure Eric Van Rooyen is out at 40s. I suppose we better mention, just as a proviso, just in case I've got it completely wrong, that he would have been one of your picks at 40-1, Eric Van Rooyen.
He would, yes, just on the basis of his Lynx performances last summer when he was fourth at the Irish Open, had a great chance to win and then played really well in the Open Championship as well. So, yeah, that's a shame that he's gone.
I'm going with Ross Fisher at 40-1 as my number one and only selection.
Close on my list, Ross Fisher.
Yeah, I went with him last week at a shorter price, and even though this is a much tougher field, I think there's been an overreaction to that miscut. He actually opened with a bogey-free round of 5 under par before completely losing his way, mainly with the driver in round two. That's something he spoke about afterwards. And everything I said about Fisher last week still applies here. He's got a solid bank of Lynx form to draw upon as well. Finished 7th in the Scottish Open at Gullen in 2015. He's played well in this event in the past two, and we spoke last week about how he's gone close to winning an Open Championship back in 2009, and I just thought from a price perspective, he was 50s, he's been chopped into 40s, still a little bit of an overreaction, so just a point each way on Ross Fisher as my solitary selection in terms of the outright at 40-1 this week.
Yeah, I can say that one, Dave. That's good. I've got someone also at 40-1, Victor Dubuisson.
Yeah, he's back, isn't he?
He's back, and it's kind of with him. You need to know that kind of his mental state is good, and we've seen. I think there was he did a diary or a blog on the European Tour where he said he rededicated himself to the game. He was back in love with it again, and. And it's showing, it's maybe like with Sergio, you know, when Sergio falls out of love with the game, it just shows in the results. It's that sort of transparent. And Dubuisson, if you follow his results over the last few months, we've got 18th in Saudi International, 12th in Oman, 10th in the Indian Open, 3 starts ago. And then last week, he was 11th in the China Open, 3 rounds of 68 to begin with. So it's coming, I think, with Dubuisson. I think he's, you know, if you sort of judge the field on how they might finish at their best, I think he'd be in your top five, and maybe with someone like Fleetwood, because he's got hosting duties, you can, you know, knock him down over rung or two. So I think Dubuisson at his best, and I think we are close to his best, can be a big challenger here. The Lynx element that I wanted to bring was he was tied 9th in the Open at nearby Hoylake. That's pretty close on that Lancashire coast. So he's proven himself in Lynx conditions. We've seen him play really well in the wind before as well. So I just thought 40-1 is quite generous on a player of his talent and one who's pretty much showing what he can do. And he's very close, I think.
Dubuisson is the selection for Dave Tindall, currently available at 40-1. Just before we get into the hashtag your odds, then a couple worthy of mention. You mentioned Fleetwood there. The four previous hosts, Ian Poulter, Luke Donald, Lee Westwood and Justin Rose, all failed to place in the year of their hosting duties. Do you think it's a major distraction?
It's kind of, well, I think it is, and it's kind of easy to twist it the way you've said it. You could argue that I think the last two were 8th and 15th.
Yes, correct.
So you could say, oh, well, you know, it's not inconvenienced them that much. Yeah. So, but
you're talking about short prices, though, aren't you? And that was the case with definitely Justin Rose last year.
Yeah, and that is the problem. And I think it's almost, they're such nice fellas, aren't they? Fleetwood is such a nice bloke. He's not going to cut any corners on the hosting duties, is he? I don't think. I think he's just going to go out and try and be lovely to everybody, and it might, and I think it will have a little bit of an impact.
Yeah, I agree. I liked Jordan Smith at the top of the betting.
Yes,
He's 28-1. He's incredibly confident. You hear him in post-round interviews, and he strikes me as someone that's not going to, who's going to go a long way in the game and isn't going to shirk the issue when he's in contention in a big event. And he doesn't have a lot of Lynx form to draw upon, but what he does have is an incredible bank of recent form. Tied 7th in the Maybank Championship, tied 14th in the Trophy Hassan, tied 5th in China last week as well. Led the field in greens in regulation, but struggled with the putter. And I know it's completely different conditions, but he was tied 3rd in this event last year at Walton Heath as well. I'd expect him to go well, 28-1, Jordan Smith.
Yeah, I think so. I wondered if you would go for Tyrrell Hatton purely on
Lynx
absolute
form.
Stonking Lynx form.
He's just struggled a little bit, hasn't he? That's the slight concern at 16s, I suppose.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me, though.
Didn't you put him up for the Alfred Dunhill when he won it a couple of years ago, when he was not in great form, but you kind of said, well, he's going back to a Lynx. But I think he was 66s then, wasn't he, rather than 16s?
Yeah, so he's maybe a little bit skinny in the market, just a touch. So,
but no surprise if he's a big challenger, though.
No, I'd expect him to. I'd expect him to bounce back and play well this week at 16-1. Any others you want to mention?
Just the hashtag yards, which I believe you're going to reveal.
Yeah, let's do that. Ryan Fox for a top 10, and Matthew Southgate for a top 25. Top 20, sorry. We've had to alter this slightly because you were going to slide in Erik van Rooyen for a top 10.
Yes.
And I've substituted that at the last minute for Matthew Southgate for a top 20. This hashtag your odds double then is 20-1. And Fox for a top 10, I think he's well worth a look in the outright book as well, by the way, at 40-1. But he hasn't been seen out since March, which maybe slightly tempers the enthusiasm. But he won the Perth Super 6 and he's just fully at home under Lynx conditions. Top 10s in the Irish and Scottish Opens a couple of years ago, and then he did the same last year as well. So four top 10s in his last four starts in events on Lynx courses in Scotland and Ireland, and he's in decent form as well, so I thought to squeeze into a top 10, including the ties, looked good.
Yeah, very good.
And Matthew Southgate for a top 20 maybe takes a little bit more of a leap of faith, but prior to his miscut last time out, he made six consecutive cuts. And he's got some serious Lynx form as well, finished 12th at Troon in 2016, and even more importantly, 6th at Royal Birkdale next door the year after, 23rd at the Scottish Open last year, so ever so close to cracking that top 20, and 2nd and 4th in two of his last three starts in the Irish Open as well. So I thought he was worth a look for a top 20. And you put those two together, Fox for a top 10, Southgate for a top 20, 20-1.
Yeah, sounds reasonable. Good that, Dave. Yeah, definitely.
And don't forget, if you want your bet priced up, tweet at William Hill using the hashtag Your Odds, and the traders will endeavour to price your bet up. And you can find those hashtag Your Odds on the William Hill website and on the app. Shall we move on?
Yes, let's go to Texas.
AT&T Byron Nelson 2019 priced up and on the William Hill website. And Brooks Koepka is the 13-2 favourite. Jordan Spieth is 16-1, along with Hideki Matsuyama. Henrik Stenson is 22s. Aaron Wise is 25s, along with Keith Mitchell. 28-1, Patrick Reed and Brandon Grace and Mark Leishman. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And given this is the week before the USPGA Championship, many of the top names have decided not to travel to Texas for this event. But Brooks Koepka has. He likes playing the week before a major championship. And even though it's been well documented that of his four PGA Tour wins in the States, three have come in major championships, this golf course should be, Dave, right up his street.
Yeah, you can see why he's so short. I don't know, though. I'm 13-2. I still think he's done fairly well in pre-major events, but do you think he's flat out this week?
I'd be surprised if he's flat out this week. Yeah. I think he'll be honing his game for next week, undoubtedly.
And for me, that's enough to just swerve him, unless you think he's a bit of an each-way steal at 13-2, but not quite for me. I want someone putting it all in, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's not for me this week at 13-2, but you can understand why he's such a short price in the market, because Trinity Forest, the host course, was used for this event for the first time last year, and it looks to be a bit of a... I know we've only got 1 year to go on, Dave, but it looks to be a bit of a bomber's paradise. Played long and soft. The fairways are so wide, they're almost impossible to miss at Trinity Forest. And the course is only a few years old as well, designed by Bill Coe and Ben Crenshaw, was built on an old landfill site, and it looks like a Lynx venue but doesn't play like one, similar maybe to Chambers Bay in that respect. Par 71 that plays just under 7,400 yards. And Aaron Wise, when he broke his duck as a rookie last year, shot 23 under par for the 4 days. And I think the problem with the course last year, and it might be a similar scenario unfolding this year, is that it's been designed to play firm and fast, but it actually played soft and slow last year. And it's been incredibly wet in Dallas in the lead up to this year's championship as well. So I think we might see similar playing conditions.
Yeah, that was. I've seen some stuff, and I agree with this, that there's an element of last year they perhaps overwatered it, because even though it was wet anyway, but they still watered the front edges, because it's a new event. What you don't want to do is scare everybody and immediately put them off and go, I'm not going there again.
They're pampered, these PGA Tour pros, aren't they?
Well, they are, unfortunately. So, yeah, but, you know, they kind of call the shots, don't they? If you're the organiser and they just don't fancy it and you've put them off,
yeah,
you're kind of kicking yourself. So they do have to sort of bend towards them a little bit. I think there are some links elements to it, just around the greens. I think there's more creative ways to play shots.
The greens were just so difficult to miss last year, though, because the fairways are so wide and the greens are so large that does it matter what you do around the greens?
I think so. I think scrambling strokes going around the green was an important stat last year, because I still think you're missing some of them, and there's just more creative ways to do it. I always think players who've got those short game skills prefer this sort of test than if it's just thick rough around the green, where they're just hacking out and it's a bit more on the lap of the gods.
Okay, I've completely looked at this from a different angle to you then here.
With my one selection.
No harm in that at all. Just the one pick for me in the event.
I've got two.
Okay, I'll let you lead off then. And we've got a hashtag your odds as well.
Yes, that's right. Who actually is also my first pick here.
Right, okay, go on then.
Patrick Reed.
28-1.
Yes. For starters, he's a Texan playing in his home state, and he was runner-up in the Texas Open a few years ago, so can certainly play well in this part of the world. Regarding the strokes going around the green, he's 35th in that this year. He's really, that's a big part of his game, and a reason why he won the Masters, because of his creativity around the greens. You mentioned the designers, Coren Crenshaw. Well, he's won at Kapalua, which is their course, isn't it? So, again, that was massively wide open fairways. And big greens as well, but you still miss them. So you still have sort of creative ways to go into them. So he really liked that. Suits his eye. And some quotes last week were interesting. He said he'd been, his swing had got a bit out of whack. So he's been working with David Ledbetter. So it's a bit of an irony, because he's with David Ledbetter, you always think it's gone a bit too golf swing, but Patrick Reed sort of said the other way, that he's going out there and just not playing golf swing anymore. So, you know, to be fair, David Ledbetter, I'm sure he's got not just one method of doing stuff and working people out. But for Reed, I think he just felt he was going out there and swinging the club a little bit more freely last week at Quail Hollow. He was in contention for a while, didn't quite see it through. But I think on this course, when it's wide open fairways, and as I say, that link to Kapalua for the Tournament of Champions, which he's won, I think that will play into his hands this week. And the Texas element plays well in the wind. Patrick Reed, I thought 28-1 was a decent price.
And he's your top 10 pick, isn't he, as well, for the hashtag your odds, which we'll come to at the end of the podcast. Just going back to Reed and working with Ledbetter, it is a thing with Reed. He wants to tighten his swing up a little bit, doesn't he? He thinks it's getting a bit loose and long in the backswing.
Yes.
And that's affected, he said that's affected all of his game, including the putting as well.
Yeah, it can sort of bleed through, can't it, to everything. So now that's sorted out, I expect him to kick on again.
I'm going with Rafa Cabrera-Bello as my one selection here at 50-1.
Yeah, I looked at him and I thought that's a fair price, isn't it? He plays well in the state.
Yeah, and he's been striking the ball brilliantly, but let down by the short game in recent months. And by that, I mean around the green, not chipped well. In his last six events measured against the field, he ranks fourth in ball striking and 19th in strokes gained approach, and his 10th in tee to green as well. Chipping is always an issue with Cabrera-Bello, but as mentioned, I've looked at this in a different respect to you. I've thought that there's such a high, or given the high greens in regulation percentage at the course last year, his short game wouldn't be as much of an issue this week as it is usually. And he tied for third in the Arnold Palmer on Bermuda Greens earlier on in the season, and 16th at the Heritage on his latest outing. I just think Cabrera Bayo on this golf course is primed for a big week, and we are standout price at 50-1 as well, which I thought was maybe a little bit insulting to Rafa Cabrera Bayo. So I'm going to point each way on him at 50-1.
Yeah, no, I like that bet. I've got a second bet, and I'm going pretty near the front end of the market, to be honest. Hideki Matsuyama.
Going back in.
Yes.
16-1.
After the Masters, yeah. I suppose if you look at results on the PGA Tour this year, we've had a lot of kind of big names win. You've had McIlroy, Rose, Dustin Johnson, and then you've had some strange ones. And sometimes we tend to maybe put a lot of our bets in the middle ground and we're kind of missing. You know, we're sort of throwing darts at the wrong area. So I think Matsuyama, hopefully, I can time him right this week. He did win the WGC Bridgestone, didn't he, the week before the PGA in 2017. So he can win the week before a major.
He went off Fav, didn't he, the following week?
So that's a little tick. Played this tournament last year. He was 16th, so that was a nice first look at the course. Strokes gained around the green. I know you think that's a load of nonsense, but he's 15th in that. But he's got all sorts of good numbers this year, striking it well. Good short game this year, and I just think he's close again. We thought it might be the Masters. It didn't. Yeah, it could have been, but for that terrible start. But I think he's certainly playing well enough this year. So looking back to, I think the end of January, he's not finished worse than 33rd. So he's knocking at the door. And I think at some point, the door will open. And I thought this is a fairly weakish field, to be honest.
Oh, it's a very weak field, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you could argue Koepka's not going to be fully on it. Jordan Spieth is joint second favourite. That still requires a leap of faith, doesn't it, to be with him. Stenson's been very iffy. Aaron Wise has got to be the defending champion. That adds an extra layer of difficulty for him. Keith Mitchell, I mean, 25's Keith Mitchell.
A lot of the fun has been spoiled by the compilers. I went with Mitchell last week at 80s. I finished tied 8th, which was just... the golf betting season in a microcosm there with him finishing tied 8th last week.
Keith
Mitchell. But yeah, 25-1's way too short, obviously. But he's got to. He's a great fit for this course, isn't he? And played well in it last year.
Yeah. But I suppose my sort of argument, if Mitchell's 25, Matsuyama's got to be good at 16.
Yeah. Well, I think Mitchell's just permanent. Massively underpriced there, isn't he, at 25s?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sort of Matsuyama. I think he's got a big chance this week. And just at the front end of the betting, I looked at Stenson a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you went with him and McDowell, didn't you, in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans?
Yeah.
They played okay.
Yeah, but obviously there's so many who knows how well he played comparatively to McDowell. It's hard to exactly quantify it.
Yeah.
But I thought, Matsuyama, maybe his results have been a little bit hidden. The actual numbers, the actual finishing positions have been a little bit hidden just by the odd poor round here and there. But I think he's very close to putting it all together. And obviously next week it's a major. Mm. He'll be trying to get his game sharp. And as I said earlier, he's won the week before a major. So I think it all fits really for him.
I like the chances of Trey Mullinax at 66-1. Went with Mullinax and Stallings in that event in New Orleans, the pairs event. And given how well he's been striking his irons, I thought he was definitely one to keep on side. But 66-1, maybe just a touch too short. You mentioned it's difficult to determine who played well in terms of the pairs. But Stallings definitely underperformed, and Mullinax was carrying him for a lot of that week, having looked at them stroke by stroke on Shot Tracker.
I read their quotes, and basically Mullinax, Stallings was saying, he sort of carried him on his back a bit.
Yeah. So 66-1, I thought Mullinax was one worthy of mention. Any others you want to talk about?
Just the usual Justin Harding mention. His 66s.
Yeah.
Again, for a player in the world's top 50, that's in this field, that looks all right, given how well he played at the Masters.
Abraham Anser in Texas.
Yeah, he had a good first round in the Innis last time, so he could be one. Scotty Scheffler, I think, has been mentioned by a few people, a Texas local,
yeah,
with some good form on the second tier. Scott Pierce, he was another one at 50s I had a little look at. Mm. I thought you might mention Sung Jae Im.
Yeah, 40 to 1.
Yeah. Or is it just, would you pull the trigger at bigger? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, just a little bit too short for me, I think.
Yeah. And then I suppose an obvious one for people might be Mark Leishman after his 61 in round one last year and second place. But is he playing well enough?
I think he's a better bet than the Keith Mitchell at 25, so let's put it that
way.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah. On all proven form, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the hashtag your odds, by the way, we mentioned both the players we're putting in for a top 10 here. Dave's going with Patrick Reed, I'm going with Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and top 10 and ties for those two in a double 18 to 1 here with William Hill. So a couple of hashtag your odds to get stuck into. Dave, who's the player you don't want to win this week? Have you got one?
I would say Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, 16 to 1. I'd have to say Trey Mullinax at 66, given if he was just a bit bigger, I'd have picked him. Okay, Dave, just recap your selections.
Yeah, so in the British Masters at Hillside, I'll have a point each way on Victor Dubuisson at 40 to 1.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way on Ross Fisher at 40 to 1.
Yeah, and then the AT&T Byron Nelson in Texas, I'll go a point and a half each way on Hideki Matsuyama. And a point each way on Patrick Reed at 28s, Matsuyama 16s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way, Rafa Cabrera-Bello at 50 to 1. And the hashtag your odds, we'll have a point on each of these. Are you okay having a point on this one, even though I've picked both parts to the British Masters one?
You go. I fully
fully support
my permission to go for Southgate, given his form.
Southgate to finish in the top 20 and Ryan Fox to finish in the top 10. That's 20 to 1. And the hashtag your odds for the Byron Nelson Championship, Patrick Reed for a top 10 and Rafa Cabrera-Bello for a top 10. And that's currently available at 18 to 1. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Maybe see you at Hillside. And if not, we'll be back, won't we, for the second major of the year, which is the USPGA next week.
We will. I'm looking forward to that. The USPGA Championship at Bethpage Black next week. Make sure you follow us both on Twitter if you wish to do so, at D. Kellner and at Dave Tindall Golf. And we will be back for the big one, the second major championship of the golfing season, next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.